Okay, so we're gonna open up our first plenary session. Very important that this is a two-way interaction. So, from your small groups, now we're making it a large group. We want to keep the same conversation going. So if you've got questions, we ask that you come up, ask a question, or feedback from your group or so on, the board facilitate.
Well, what I would like to do, and it was nice to be able to circulate around and see some of the groups. For the sake of everyone, I'm wondering if we can get a few key points that came out from your groups. Now, I know there was eight groups, right? Eight groups?
Yeah.
Could I have maybe one point that came out of your groups, and Dave will just mark down some of the questions or thoughts that you have on groups.
Well, I guess this is group four,
group four.
Service. When I'm helping out other, oh, sorry.
Yep.
Sorry to speak up. We were talking mainly about service, how we try to help people out, try to look for ways that we can make somebody's life better. You know, just be out there to help wherever we can.
Well, I was in group three, and our word seems to be actions.
Actions.
Because we emphasized what Greg had said about St. Francis of Assisi and his, you know, going to the world, and if you have to use words.
Great.
I think in fairness, he did use words as well.
Yes.
Probably why we have
to. It's a tribute. Another group?
Group two at the back here.
Group two.
Okay, something to offer for the youth in our church environment. They thrive on food, they thrive on friendship, and they thrive on music.
So something for youth, food.
Something for the youth.
Friendship,
they're
going to
be the benefactors. They're going to be our congregational members in the future. Some are going to go off to the mission field. Some are going to be right here and stay as ministers. And so we have to attract and keep them in our churches.
So how do we, and that's the great question, isn't it? How do we attract you and make our faith and our worship and our church appealing, and then help them grow in their faith, right? Because they, you say, they're the church today, but they're also the church tomorrow. They're the future clergy, they're the future lay leaders, they're the future people working out in the community, doing the social work or whatever it is, yeah.
And the parents will pass it on to their kids.
And they'll pass it on to their kids, right? Next, another group?
Group seven. We spent a lot of time on the word worthiness.
Worthiness.
Which
worthiness.
Was really quite interesting, and I'll get into that later. But the other thing, too, was in relating to others who are not Christians, the words that you use and to do that, so they don't become words that seem to be holier than thou.
Or foreign. Yeah, the meetings in the narthex.
Yes.
Would
humble fit that holier than thou?
I would. Yeah. Well, I suppose to a certain extent it would, yes.
Just
yes, you could put that word down.
Okay. Another group?
I just want to add for group three that we said we live it through our gifts, and everybody, it's different. Some people have the gift tongue, some don't.
We live it through our different gifts. Everyone has different gifts.
Whether it be through music or talking or doing an outreach, there's many different talents that we live through.
And isn't that the great thing about being different? I mean, it's part of the body. Not everyone can be the hand, not everyone can be the eye, the mouth, the foot. And we all bring something special. Another group?
What would you say one was, people? Because we had action as well, but we kind of dwelled a bit more on glory, how we glorify.
I thought more like love. You've got part of the of our role around.
Be loving?
Yes, because through love, we develop truth and acceptance, and this way we end up more glorifying.
How do we glorify?
I think that was what we were sort of going around in circles on.
Right.
I was in group one too. But I'd just like to share something. This is from Bishop Desmond Hunt.
And I was very moved by him teaching one time on the glorify, the word glorify. And he said, glorify is the manifestation, the actual, sort of the essence of who that person is being made, coming into reality. And he said, so if you look at John's gospel, we're told the Son glorifies the Father. So Jesus tells us, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And then he, a little bit later on, he says, the Spirit glorifies the Son. Yeah. So the Spirit's going to take the essence of Jesus, which is in fact the essence of the Father. And then Jesus teaches that the church will be glorified. He will be manifest amongst the people. Yeah. And so when you understand in those terms, when we glorify the Father, we're actually allowing, or the glorify God, we're actually allowing Jesus to work in our lives. And you talked about seeing with God's eyes, and we have the mind of Christ, and so on. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was such a powerful teaching because it brings it all together.
I love that from Desmond Hunt. And one of the groups was talking about, Andrew Sparks' group, I can't remember what number group
six.
It was. Six. He was talking about how he writes poetry, and he doesn't know exactly what he's going to write. He just sort of allows himself to be open, and then he's amazed almost what ends up on paper. My comment was that as I passed through the groups was that that's a way we glorify God too. We're allowing God to work through us, and that in such that glory, the presence, that work of God through the Spirit working through us is also a glorifying of God, and we bring glory to God through that. So sometimes glory isn't always the final action; it's the process of allowing God to work and use us. And that ties into what you were saying. So that's a couple of some more groups. Any more groups? No one wants to talk.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got 3 more to go.
Well, some of the groups talk about similar things. For example,
okay.
Group 8 yep. talked a lot about youth. Youth is okay. Up there already.
Okay, that's fine. So did the other groups say the same things, same comments there? Okay.
Group 3 also discussed about our egos.
Egos.
Remember
that?
What's that?
Ego.
That's funny. I was going to do that when you said, what's that?
Okay.
And it was noted in Group 6 that when we try to ask the question, how do we bring glory to God, how easy it is to turn that into how can God help us out of pickles. we kind of flip it around so that it's not us getting on with God's agenda, but how can we get God onto our agenda and help us, sort of the old insurance agent, thing, call them up.
We slip into that very easily.
And I think maybe another thing was how it's easy to say how we don't glorify God. I mean, at least I offer a couple of ways that I didn't glorify God, but it's a little harder to talk about, how we actually do it in a positive way. But I mean, the other groups maybe did a better job.
Yeah, did anyone else find that the same thing? It's easier to talk about the ways we don't glorify God than the ways we do?
Because
we fall short, is what Dave was saying.
So one of the things in Group 6, we get on talking about, well, it turned out to be self-control, but that brings in the fruits of the Spirit, and if we exercise the fruits of the Spirit, then we're glorifying God.
Right. And I'll be talking about that in a little bit. Next session.
How about to be available to God?
To be available to God. Now, can you say a little more about that? How do you understand being available to God?
To put aside your own agenda,
okay,
your own kingdom building, and to allow him to use you and to manifest through you and to serve through you. Mm-hmm. And to not let your own stuff get in the way and derail that. Mm-hmm.
And that relates back to the ego again. Mm. Because again, the psychologist would say it's the ego that gets in the way of allowing that true self of you to come out. Right? We block
just
it.
In continuation to what Art was saying, for those of you that may never have heard this, ego is an acronym as well. It's edging God out.
Edging God out. Edging God out.
Very good.
That's good. Yeah.
One thing that came up in our group was
forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Very important. If God can forgive us, why can we not forgive others and forgive ourselves?
Yes. So forgiving, if God forgives us, how can God forgive others and forgive ourselves? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, every Sunday, and for many people, every day we say the Lord's Prayer. You know, amongst everything is hallowed be your name, divine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's about bringing all this into it too. But the whole idea of forgiving our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But God forgives us first, right? The whole idea too, God is love, right? So God loved us first. Our everything we do comes out of the fact that God loved us first, which goes back to those mercies that Paul talks about. Everything we do as a Christian should be coming out of everything God does for us. Our life should be a response to love, to forgiveness, to grace, empowerment, whatever it is, everything we do as a human being, as a person, as a believer in Christ should come out of everything that's already been done for us and continues to be done for us. And that's the part that's the disconnect we have sometimes.
Doesn't God work in our lives in spite of us?
Yes, in spite of us. Absolutely, yeah. Thanks be to God for that.
Yes.
Because, again, it's all about we don't deserve, we don't earn. And in spite of us, God still uses us. Like, I think of the things that I've done in my life. You know, I'm not going to go into detail. But God still uses me. Sometimes kicking and screaming. But God still uses me. God still uses you. God still uses our churches. Even though we as a church, church in the world, church in Canada, church in our diocese, although we're not perfect, God is still using us and making a difference in the lives of so many people.
Could I just say something about the term to use? It can sound very pejorative and very negative. But if you were drafted to the Blue Jays and you were sat on the bench and they called you up to bat, you wouldn't feel you were being used. You were feeling you actually had an opportunity to participate in the business, in the kingdom you're part of. You wouldn't feel used at that point. You'd feel honored to have been called, to have been chosen to represent.
And again, it's how we use words, right? So when Paul, we were talking about present yourself, it's not out of a grudging way, well, I have to do this. It should be out of a joy, a response, a giving back. So it's the same idea. How we use words also form how we think. Mm. And sometimes we need to get rid of the stinking thinking, as a, you know, that cliche. Mm. And we need to change how we view words and also view our faith. Do we respond in joy, or is it, oh, I've got to do it? Do we get up in the morning on a Sunday because we want to worship? This is our one time of the week we come together as a community to worship, to praise, to be fed, to be sent out, or is it, oh, yeah, Sunday
watch
morning.
Watch from my lion.
Okay. It is harder when it's dark in the mornings, isn't it?
One of the elements that we explored briefly in our group was related to forgiveness. And forgiveness is not excusing the behavior. Mm. It's about healing you.
A lot of times it's your healing.
Yes.
Right? It's about healing here.
Yeah, and so we talked about if you can't forgive what happened historically, then you're bound to keep picking at that scab and it'll never heal.
Right.
Mm. And so you have to forgive and move forward. So it all depends on whether you're looking in the rearview mirror as you drive or whether you're looking out the windshield.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. I was going to say that there is definitely that process of not holding on to things, not picking at scabs as you put it, and yet the wounds of Christ are still there when he rises from the dead. And there is a transformation taking place where the suffering he has been through is very real,
and yet it no longer binds him. And I think that facing the facts of what has happened is a crucial part
yes.
of dealing with the past.
Good point.
And at the same time, that process that God is, that privilege that God is giving us of serving him, of it's a privilege in a sense to be used by him. It's a glorious joy. Mm-hmm. But what is also happening at the same time, I find, is that God has set himself the job of bringing to perfection in us what he wants. Now, we have a part in that, and to the degree that we do not take that seriously, God steps in to make things happen that he might not particularly welcome. But the really wonderful thing is that the holiness of God, the beauty of God, is that which he delights in sharing, and he is making us into the people that we should be. Paul says, just being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in us will carry it through to completion even unto the day when Jesus Christ returns.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect. The work's been has been started in us.
Yes.
Right. And we are being brought to perfection, but we're not there yet.
That's right.
And I think that's okay. We come down on ourselves when we don't think we are living up to what we're supposed to. Because we'll look at someone else, maybe the person next to you, I don't know, and we'll say, oh, he's so great. You know, he gives up his time, he knows the Bible, right? We know all that stuff. And we come down on ourselves. But then when we do that, we're not listening to what David was just saying, those words. God has already begun the good works in us. And will bring us to that point of perfection, but it's a continued work. And we're all at different levels. But the main thing is, at least we're on that journey. We're being changed. It's about that transformation of mind we'll talk about tomorrow. The change is there, but we don't need to get into the pity parties where we come down on ourselves. And we're great at doing that. And I don't mean to say it, but men are great at doing that too. Yeah. We come down on ourselves because society raises us to a certain level of where we're supposed to be at and how we're supposed to perform and how we're supposed to provide for family, how we're supposed to achieve, all those things. And then on top of it, we have this faith element and we say, well, I'm not as good as he is. Hmm. You know? I'll tell you, I'm not the greatest at memorizing verses. It's just a memory thing with me. I remember themes and thoughts, but verse and numbers, it's just not my gift. You want to talk about gifts? And I used to really come down on myself for that, because I knew people, oh my gosh, they were a walking Bible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I also came to the realization it's not so much how much I could rhyme off, it's how I integrated it into my life.
Yes. Right?
So it's great to know all this, and it's great it's at hand, if you can do it. Now all I have to do is say this thing, what I want to aim for, put it in my phone, and I can find it in a second. That's the great thing. That's the one good thing about technology. Bible Gateway and all those other things, right? But the real importance is, it's not just the memorization, it's about integration. And as Paul was going through those first 11 chapters of Romans, it was all doctrine, it's all about God, it's all what God did for us, but now, it's living the life. How do we behave and live our lives according to that, the word we've received? Right?
One of the gentlemen in our group, I made a comment, and one of the people in our group said, yeah, you don't hear a lot of that about the enemy. And there are some of us, I being one of them, who firmly believe that the enemy looks at our humanness and says, I can attack their sense of frailty.
Yeah.
And I can exploit that.
Oh, yeah.
And make them feel inadequate and incompetent and bring them down and make them less effective. So part of my daily prayer is, Lord, protect me from the attacks of the enemy that would weaken my ministry that you've called me to.
Well, Peter says that, the devil's like a roaring lion seeking, right? Mm-hmm. Someone to devour. C.S. Lewis, one of the books I loved growing up was the Screwtape Letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so right. He was great. I mean, the apprentice devil, right? He was taught, you don't have to do things, you don't have to send disaster, let's say, to the Christians. Just get them thinking, get them doubting. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And we do, then we take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what Greg was saying.
Sow a bad seed.
What's that?
To sow a bad seed.
To sow a bad seed. To sow doubt. To sow anxiety, fear. Questions, just those questions. And it happens all the time. So then we could go into, it's not the theme of this one, but putting on the whole armor of God. But that's a whole other, that's another weekend.
Yeah. No, that's a lifetime.
I mean, you touched on the pity party, you know, there's the blame game, there's, you know, stinking thinking, they're all wiles of the devil.
Yes, they are.
That's what the helmet of salvation is for.
Yeah. You know, so.
Don't you find that the stronger your faith is, the more you're attacked?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. The devil doesn't attack those who are weak. Doesn't have to. Weak in the faith, I mean. You know? But those who are strong, when you find someone is growing in faith, that's when it seems that the attacks are greatest. Or when a church has started a wonderful new ministry. Okay? And I'll tell you, and Dave knows about this, we started back about 5 years ago, a wonderful youth ministry. Now, thanks to God, it still continues. But it almost died due to a disaster. It was growing, but a certain circumstance came in and blew it apart. But we were growing. I mean, we had over 100 youth from the community that were connected with that. And sometimes when we are growing in our faith, yeah, the attacks start. The things happen. They come at us.
Same thing happened to Flame.
Same thing happened to us.
That's true.
I heard about that too, yes. So, we need to have the faith and regroup and trust that God can take those broken pieces and build it up again. That doesn't mean there's not going to be those moments of brokenness in our own lives, in our organizations, whatever it is. But God can make the difference.
I think we're about out of time.
We're done.